Father, we make a big declaration this morning saying it is well with our soul and our eyes are on you. Lord, that's a declaration of our hearts, and we're asking you to empower us to walk that out, to walk out the belief that all is well with our soul, to walk that out with a complete container of your power and your mercy and your love backing up those statements. All is well. All is well in heaven. And Lord, we so desire that all is well with our soul experientially. Father, our eyes are on you this morning, the author and finisher of our faith. And our ears are open to hearing what you're saying and what you're doing. What you want to see accomplished in each one of us. What you want to see accomplished in your kingdom being spread. That you would open our eyes to see you, to see your very face in the eyes of every person we're around. The littlest to the oldest, the smallest to the largest, the youngest to the oldest. Father, that we would see with your eyes, we would hear with your ears, that you would enable us, Lord, to be your hands and your feet, and that these would be words of life that would really grab your attention, God. Even in the midst of the different things that we face, God, even in the midst of the trials and the tribulations and the stretchings and the process that each one of us walks through in life, Lord, that we would know that all is well with our soul from your perspective, and you invite us to partner with you for that to become a reality in the truest sense. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want to see, God. We want to see. We want to feel. We want to know. We want that inner knower to be so enlarged that the capacity of that inner knower of our heart would be enlarged with the very breath of heaven. Show us, God. Show us your ways. Show us your kingdom heart, that our ways would match your ways. Our thinking would be rearranged. Our attitudes, our actions, our bodies, our minds, every part of us, oh God, would just come into relationship and in full tandem with you and your kingdom heart. It's what we want. We want that closeness. We want that intimacy. We want that, God. We really do. And you're here today amongst us, God. Yeah. Yeah. Just really heard the word and saw a picture of a heart. And I don't know if anyone is standing for someone with heart problems or issues, or you have something that is not resonating well for you physically. If that's you, just raise your hand. If you have some kind of palpitations or some type of arrhythmic heartbeat, yeah, or anything else that would stem from a cardiovascular concern. Maybe you don't even know, maybe you haven't gone to a doctor, but you sense something isn't right or you've had questions about that. Just put your hands up high in the air if that would be anyone, and you're standing for someone that way. See about 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow. Father, I just thank you. Keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up in that air and just receive what he wants to do. Lord, we thank you that you are our supernatural Papa. And we thank you, Lord God, that those who are standing and believing, even if they aren't standing and believing, but those who are expressing that they have a need, that your power and your presence is here right now for each one and the ones that they're standing for. Thank you, God. We just thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, whatever specific area of this heart region, cardiovascular system, Lord, maybe it's high blood pressure, low blood pressure, something to do, Lord, with the blood and the cardiovascular system. There's a couple more hands that went up, about 3 more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, Lord, another hand just went up. God, thank you that you're highlighting the need of the moment for many. So we thank you. Another hand just went up. God, what's going on here? Father, whatever is happening in that area, we know that you are here by divine choice because you're God and we're not. And just thank you for the release right now. If there's pain, we just release that and release any disease or infection and ask for your total reversal and reconstruction, Father, of whatever the problem might be, that there would be restoration that would come for each person and the ones they're standing for, that you would lead them and guide them. Lord, if you want to do miracles which are instantaneous, we call that out right now. And Father, if your choice is to increase that in the area of healing where it may be a gradual increase, we call that out right now. We don't know your plan for each one. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for whatever it is that people are asking for, standing for, and that you will make known what you've accomplished right now. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your miraculous work. Is anybody feeling a physical change right now? Does anybody feel, just raise your hand if you're feeling a physical release or relief. Thank you. Two. Anybody else? It's hard to see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just breathe life. Four or three. There's another person back there. Three people right now. Thank you, Lord. We just stand for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, for the increase right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching each one of these systems and all that's related to these cardiovascular systems and the ones they're standing for. We praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Continue the work. Continue your process. Thank you, God. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Yeah. Yeah, Troy's doing that. It's good. That was the next thing. If you had your hand up, just put it up again. There were, I don't know how many, I lost count. If you were standing for someone or yourself, just stand up so people can come around you. And just if you feel that unction to pray and you believe that healing is a children's bread, if you believe that, just go on over, lay your hands, and just agree with heaven. And that will continue. That might even help possible unbelief or doubt just be moved out of someone. God does what he's doing. So if you have no doubt in your mind that God's at work right now, then just go ahead. Okay? Go ahead and lay your hands on someone. Just agree with what God's doing. Just thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just speak out healing. Speak out the healing, anointing, and power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We've seen so many miracles in this place. Lord, we just declare your will, your purposes, and your ways in this house. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy One. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. By your stripes, Lord, your word says that we were healed at the cross with you, Jesus. And now we release that in fullness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. Yeah. Father, we just rejoice in what you're doing. And when you're releasing, you release the words of heaven with confidence and with boldness, just trusting God because he's the healer. Amen? Just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for the supernatural work of your healing, anointing, and power, Holy One. Thank you, Jehovah Rapha. Thank you that this house is a healing house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, wherever deliverance needs to take place for the healings to occur, I release that over these people in Jesus' name. Father, that you'd give the anointed words to those who are around, who have purity of heart and mind and desire to hear from heaven what you're releasing right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Still believe our blood is sufficient.
Deaf to hear right now in your blood takes away the curse right now. Your blood heals every disease right now in your blood sets the addict free. Right now, and I still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I,
you've been struggling with any other healing problem, physical ailment. We have a lot of people up and down, so just put your hands straight up. If there's anything else, if somebody can lay hands on Tommy back there and Mary. If anybody else is feeling physically ill, you feel that, release that unction from God, then go ahead over there. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If anybody felt a very strong movement of the Spirit, you felt a change in your body, you feel that it's increasing, you can come up and briefly share what that was. If you want to come up, you can. Because we know the Lord's moving here very powerfully. This is His heart. Yeah. So if you have something that you do want to share, sometimes we feel a little shy, thinking, oh my gosh, it's not complete. But God works through process. So did you have something?
As we were praying, I felt the Lord just come into my heart and radically change it like a big ball of fire, and I could see Him putting more puzzle pieces together, like He was building, making it stronger. It was amazing.
Do you have any physical change? Did you have physical thought? Were you sick? Some physical hurt problem, not sure exactly what, but you felt a release from the pain. Is that right? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Finish what you're doing. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to share any physical change they're experiencing right now or feel that they've been touched in some way? If you were praying for someone and you know that there was a change, you might encourage them. Especially those who have been doing this for a while, encourage them to share. It's always encouraging to the body. And Lawrence, I'm going to ask you to share what you saw on the ski slopes yesterday, speaking of seeing into the Spirit. So if you want to come up. Is there anybody that had another report that they wanted to share about a physical release? Becca, did you want to bring... Mike, did you have something? Did someone have a change, physical? Chris, did you have something? Okay, Chris, if you can share that. This is always encouraging because this is, we call it supernatural and go, whoa, that's just God being God, okay?
Okay, well, Angie and Mike and Justin were praying for me. I could just feel the power of God just moving through me, and I kept like wanting to fall back, but I feel like God's peace came into me. So I had high blood pressure, and my heart would like palpitate and skip and race and slow down, and I don't know, I kept having anxiety and stuff, so it's gone in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Anybody else? God's working. He's moving. He's going to finish what He started with the lump in your stomach. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we had a we had an incredible weekend. How's everybody feeling? I was shocked more people didn't raise their hands when they said, anybody need healing? Because should have seen them last night. They all would have raised their hand. We had an awesome, awesome weekend. I saw my wonderful wife for the first time early this morning, so I got to share a little bit with her about it. For those of you who might not know, we had the winter adventure weekend. Is that what we called it? Winter? Young adult winter weekend? Yeah. Yawawa. Something like that. Yawawa. But it started off Friday night at our house, and we just wanted to have an opportunity to bring people together and share and demonstrate God's love and His mercy. And we did silly, fun things. There was a lip sync that got way out of control. You guys are pretty interesting and creative people. And then we had some worship, which I love when we have opportunities like that in our house to have worship and just to see people engage in the Lord's presence. And then we had an incredible message by a beautiful woman, my wife, Cynthia. We headed out early in the morning through storm and snow and sleet. And we got there eventually after, you know, some adventures. We spent the day yesterday skiing, and then we had a time of ministry and worship. And I just want to share real quick the opportunity that I had just to connect with a couple of people. And it was more than just skiing, which we enjoyed doing, or tubing or snowboarding. You guys got very defensive yesterday. Skiing, snowboarding, and tubing. Yes, you all did great. You were great skiers and great snowboarders and great tubers and great people. But the opportunity that we had just to I'm seeing God's heart and desire in the power and anointing of fellowship, and something that's released in that when brothers and sisters come together in one heart and just want to encourage one another. And I saw that throughout the entire day. I saw experienced skiers and snowboarders who have been doing it for years taking the time for hours on end just sitting with people who've never done it before, who've never experienced any of that, just sowing into an opportunity to do that. I saw people who loved to ski took the time to go tubing and just really preferring one another. But the thing that I loved was we had a time of worship that we had an a cappella style worship. We didn't need instruments because we left them here, so we didn't need them. But it was just a real sweet time in the Lord's presence. And then Andy and Carly and myself just shared a message from the Father's heart, and just being able to see how God was moving and touching. I was crying. There were several other people crying. Just the sweet presence of the Lord coming in and touching hearts. And the fellowship from beginning to end and connecting and hearing how God's moving and touching people's hearts has been absolutely amazing. And being able to experience God's creation in that way, I just felt like something new was unlocked for a lot of people yesterday, including myself. We are so blessed with an amazing body of people. There are people that I met 2 days ago and people that I've known for years, and every single one of them just amazed me yesterday. You guys are awesome brothers and sisters and people and children of God. And it was incredible. So I don't know if there's, should we have specific testimonies or anything? Is that good? Okay. Should we do one?
This is good. You know, church is supposed to be fun. How many of us know that? When we're worshiping the Lord, when we're in His presence, we're supposed to have fullness of joy, right? Even when He's telling us some things that, oh, He may want to help eradicate from our lives, it still can be a good time, good experience, because he's so in love with us and he wants to make himself so known to us. And I love that about this place, is that we have the freedom, we take the freedom, we expect the freedom in here to increase so that God is enlarged, that the Lord is really bigger than our enemy. And when the enemy is really bigger in our eyes than he, thank you, sweetie, than he is, we have problems. And when the Lord's bigger, we have opportunities. That's a good word. It's an opportunity. It's true. So on that note, we're going to watch something, I think. Do we have something from Bethany or Carly? Okay.
Well, we're taking a team to India. I thought it'd be a little louder than that. If we could have those team members come up, please. We're not going to commission today, but we are going to show you who they are. One particular team member.
I might.
Okay. So the four of us, the plan is to go to India. We'll go and starting March 12th. We won't necessarily all go at the same time, but we'll all be there between March 12th and April 4th. April 5th is Easter. We plan to be back and share on Easter what happened during the trip. Does anyone think anything will happen during the trip? Amazing things happen, and we're trusting God. We don't trust our experience, right? We don't trust the fact that we've been on other mission trips, right? Okay, in India they go like this when they say yes. Where's Carl? Yeah. Carl knows how to do it the best. But it's very subtle, very subtle. And that's a yes, and this is a no. So this is yes. Let's try it. Come on. This is yes, and this is no. Okay, so sometimes I have to ask two or three times. Was that a yes, or was that a no? Most of you know that we don't often talk about money. However, we should, because this place needs supported. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a service that comes and plows out the drive out here. And they've had to come more often this year. So your tithes are being used. Some people come to this place, they say, where in the world do we give? There's no offering plates that are passed around. We thought that was an interruption when we started meeting here in 2005, so we don't pass the plates around. We expect you to ask God what you're supposed to give. And we put a little box on the back wall. If you didn't know where to give, that's the place, the box on the back wall. And we just trust that people are going to do that. I tell other pastors that, and they say, are you crazy? If we did that, we'd have to shut down our church. I said, well, God is faithful, God is good, and we don't have to interrupt the services with something like that all the time. However, today, I'm going to make a little bit of an exception, because I'm going to, just before Pastor Mary Pat speaks, no, I'm not going to speak for the third week in a row, but now that Pastor Mary Pat's going to speak just before she does, you know, because you've been coming here, some of you, for quite a while. Some of you are new. But you know that there are tithes and there are offerings. Tithes are for people that have committed themselves to this place and they decide to support what happens around here, like the plowing of the drive, like the salaries of the people that are the staff, like the lights, the nice warm environment that you walk into, and so on. Offerings are what you give in addition to that, towards special projects, towards things that we bring up from the front, and so on. Try not to get the two confused. You don't give an offering when you haven't been giving your tithe, if you're committed to this place. Now, if you're not committed here, you can give all you want. But if you are committed here, you give a tithe that is, you know, unto the Lord. You say, this is my first fruits to you. We tithe people on the mission. These people are going to be gone. You won't see them for about 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the person. And so we tithe them into the mission field, into other nations. We give lots of money away to other nations because we think we should do that. We should give. You know, if I were to take, you know, a gift and I give it to someone, let's say they're from another nation, and I give them the gift, they are going to invest that in someone else. She'll probably give that gift away to someone else. She'll probably give, and that person will be blessed in some way, shape, or form, whether they have a meal together or whether they have transportation together or not. They will be paying for gas so that they can drive that person around. Whatever it happens to be, the blessing just continues to go on when we give towards what God wants us to give to. So today you're going to have an opportunity. We're going to pass out some pledge cards. And you have an opportunity to pledge towards the mission of these people. This isn't a gift for me. We'll divide it between these people. Look at them. They're happy about that. They didn't have any idea that I was going to do this morning. This is a surprise to them. But this body has literally touched the nations from this small Gideon's army and a few people on the outside that care about what happens in the nations. I think this body can do a great deal towards supporting this team to go overseas. So they're not going to send you letters. If you get one, forgive them. But they're not going to send you letters because you're going to see their smiling faces and their desire and their leaps of joy to go to India and touch the people there. We have a children's home there in Rajahmundry, India. It's been ongoing. A number of you support that children's home. Don't take away the support of the children's home to support these missionaries. Add to that as the Lord leads you to do so. When we take a pledge, we pass out something like this, or we just tell you about it normally. But I have a nice little document today, actually. And it's a pledge card. It has the dates on there. It says 3 or 4 powerful team members. Well, look, God's already moved, and there are 4. So you can just scratch out that 3 because there's 4. Isn't that great?
Maybe 5.
Who knows?
But
by next Sunday, we would like you to figure out what you would like to pledge towards this mission. Now, you could do it today. If you do it today, you get to keep the pen I pass out for you to fill this out. That's the best I can do. But it's a really nice pen. It just happens to have Frontline Ministries International on it, just to remind you. But you can put your pledge on here and decide what God would have you do. Now, what if God told you to give 0? I would ask him again. Just saying. I would ask him again. But if he says give 0, you do not have to turn in a pledge card. You do not have to feel any pressure whatsoever. We're going to go to India. With or without you. I'd like to partner with you. I'd like you to partner with us. But we're going there. We're going to trust God to bring in the funds whether you're involved or not. I say, why don't you become involved and sign the pledge card. And that can be dropped in the beautiful offering plates that we never pass. I'm going to pass one today. Now look how beautiful that is. I know. Came from my house. I actually have my snacks in here, but I washed it. Now, this is for the standard givers. This is for the ones that open up their wallet and they say, "Ooh, that's hard to give that extra for missions." This is for the hilarious givers. This is the popcorn givers. Oh, I can't wait. And they just pop it in there. They just pop the pledge in there. They just go overboard. They know they can't even meet the pledge, so they say, God, I'm putting some popcorn in. So we're going to pass out two different kinds of plates. And you can decide which one you want to put your pledge card into. We're also going to pass out a pen so you actually can put your name on your pledge card. So you know how it is. You get a pledge card and you go, oh, gee, I lost that at church. Shoot, I wanted to give, but I forgot it. You know what? We're going to have you put your name on it. So if we find it, we'll return it to you. Lost and found won't have 15 pledge cards. We'll give it right back to you. Someone will run out into the parking lot, slip slide around, and say, you forgot your pledge card. She said it would be fun today. So I already have someone to pass out the pledge cards. I know I have people to pass out the bowls, the offering plates on both, you know, either side. One of you go that side, one of you go that side. We set this all up very carefully.
I knew nothing.
Now, on the back of the card, listen, don't watch the people passing things out. Listen. On the back of the card, you can put on there something that you would like us to do for you, to serve you. We're willing to do whatever we can within schedule constraints and so on to help you out. So if you want to put an additional job on the back that you would like to pay someone to do for their mission trip, you can do that. You can write it on the back. I need mulching done in the spring. Now, they may not do that before they leave for the trip, but they'll pledge themselves to do something like that. Now, if you have a particular person in mind, you can put that person on there out of the four people, or you can just leave it open and we'll decide who can actually take care of that. And it would be an additional pledge that you could make into the coffers of the mission trip. Did you catch that? On the back, it's not you pay the pledge on the front to pay for the back. The pledge on the front is whatever God tells you to give. If you have something additional, some work or something you'd like to do to add to that at some point between now and June, you can put that on the back and we'll contact you with that opportunity. Okay, let's see. If you turn your pledge in today, you can keep the card as a prayer card. You know, let's say that you put your, you know, the Lord tells you right now, bam, this is what you're going to give, and you have it, and you just want to give it right now. You can give it, you can keep the pledge card for a prayer card. If, you know, you don't have it today, you want to hang on to it, you want to think about it, it says March 1st, so you have until next Sunday to kind of figure out what you'd like to do, and put it in. Now, what happens if you don't get it in by March 1st? Do you think we're not going to accept any funds towards the missions after March 1st? You betcha. You bet we will. If you suddenly get an inheritance from Uncle Harry, we'll take it. Because we're crazy about missions. We love going. We love touching people. This guy on the card that you see actually came to Jesus. It was awesome. He was not Hindu, but Muslim. And he came to Jesus last year as I took over after his show with the crowd that was there. But anyway, this guy really exists. We met him, and he came to Jesus, and he's hopefully going to a local church. We'll check on him, see how he's doing. Let's say that you don't have anything like clean your house or a work opportunity like that. Maybe you need some kind of print project done. Carly's great at that kind of thing. Maybe you need a song written for a particular occasion, or a song performed for your husband or your wife. We're willing to do whatever. We're crazy for missions. We want to touch the nations. Those are real. We know them. We've been there, and we're going to go see them again in just a couple weeks. Let's see if I forgot anything. Oh, please pray that the visas come through. Yeah. I have mine. There's three that need theirs. And India has become very Hindu nationalistic with the last election. So we're actually contending for visas to come through, to make sure they come through. So please stand with us for that, pray with us for that, and we'll see them come through. See if I forgot anything. Don't forget to write your name on it. Oh, I forgot to pass out the pens, didn't I? Wow. There you go. Efficiency. Okay. Sure. Also, these envelopes are for anyone that you say, oh, you know, I'd like to add to my pledge. I know a person that's interested in missions, and I would like to put one of these cards into an envelope and give it to them, and they can send in their pledge. If there's anyone like that, you want to partner with us to help finance the trip because of people you know, you can come up and get one of these cards, put it in an envelope, talk to that person about the mission, or they can call us and we'll tell them everything about the mission. And you can support the mission that way by people you know that love missions and they're just looking for places to give their mission money to. We will, hi there. We will absolutely be good stewards of what you give. Any questions? Sir? I knew there would be people that helped me. Sure, if you want to do something credit card-wise, we have a card in front of you on the pew that you can use. Any way that you can make it clear to us what you're giving. Also, the cards are for giving your tithe. Obviously, that's listed on there for your support of Rajamundry children, so on. So those are in the pew in front of you somewhere if you want to make it clear. Sure, you could do that too. Absolutely.
Good idea. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for all those suggestions. I needed those this morning. It was enough just to get something printed up. So don't forget to write your name on it. That was as soon as you got your card, write your name. Be blessed. And again, ask the Lord. He'll show you what to give. If you're not supposed to give anything, he'll take care of that.
Thank you, Lord. That's great. Need to be encouraged, don't we? You know, when we talk about finances and money, things like that, sometimes people cringe. We should be smiling. It's a blessing for us to be able to have the privilege of partnering with what God's doing. So, amen. Be encouraged. So, Father, I just thank you for this anointed time so far. And thank you, Lord, that we can lift up to heaven our needs, Lord, and that you're touching each one of our hearts because you definitely fund that which you are putting together. So thank you, Lord, that you've shown us this from the beginning, from the very first mission trip back in 19-something, 95 or 6. And Father, I just thank you for that, and thank you that you are continuing to do that all the way through here for every mission experience, Lord, as you're raising up your end-time revivalists and raising up your forerunners, Lord. Thank you for the pioneers going out on this mission, again, for the continued establishment of what you're doing in India. And Father, thank you for opening up new venues, divine venues as well. Thank you, Father, for what you're planning on doing. And Father, may we just be blessed accordingly based on what your word is saying, sending out the laborers into the harvest field. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did the children already leave? No. Okay. Children. Well, you've been taught about finances a little bit. That's great. Yes, you can, if you have it. I saw a bunch of kids running out, so I wasn't sure if some are out, some are in. But children, you're released to go into the back for Kingdom Land. I had some things on my heart very strongly this week. I've been in kind of a very interesting place for the last few months in my family. And I was asking the Lord, I've been asking the Lord, what is going on here? Yes, we need healings. Yes, we need breakthrough. Yes, there's all of a sudden there's a crisis in the family. And so, Lord, I thank you that I dig deep and say, how do we walk through this? What are you trying to teach? What are you trying to show? What are you trying to do? And so you've heard some of those prayer requests and praise reports of what's happened and how God has seen us through to certain degrees and certain ways with my mom and my dad over these recent months. And so when I was asking the Lord a lot, I've been asking him, so what are you trying to teach me? What am I to learn from this? How am I to increase? How does that affect the kingdom here at large? As a pastor, as a leader, what would you have me do with this in addition to taking care of the fam? You know, how does this work in the kingdom? What's the bigger picture? And I'm finding more and more in my life that as I continue to posture my mind and my heart that way, that he shows me things that are new all the time because he's speaking all the time and he's increasing all the time. And so as I'm learning in my own life, I'm saying, God, would you impart to me what it is that you want me to get to know as far as the increases? Because you're always blessing. You're not a cursing God to your kids. And Father, I thank you that you want to set us free from anything that would hinder us from walking in and receiving the fullness of your blessing. Sounds good. We know God is love. He loves us. We're happy about that. And some of us kind of go through life hoping that we're going to make it the next time and things are going to increase and there's going to be just an outpouring of increase on my life and I have a purpose and here I am, God. And I think that's everybody's heart, or I believe that's what he would want, that God would hopefully have us get to the place of being able to say, Lord, it's just really all about you, for real. I mean, we say that, we sing that, we try to walk that out, but then the reality is it's not in many times. We say those things because it sounds really good. It's very Christian, you know, and we get out into the real world and we're just kind of fumbling sometimes. And rightfully so, trying to figure out what is God saying and doing and how can I give him glory? And I get up in the morning and say, how will this look when I go to the hospital? How will this look when I go to my father's? How will this look when I come in the office here? How will this look when I'm stepping, when you're throwing me actually into a whole new realm in the area of medical expertise that I knew nothing about and know a whole lot more now from just all of a sudden crash, boom, here you go. And you're going to be the spokesperson. You're going to be the liaison. You're going to be the connector. This is not something your dad's doing. This is something you're doing. And I'm going to teach you and train you through this, not only just to understand more from the medical perspective and such and how to wield the kingdom that way, but also what God wants to do to expand the kingdom right here, right now, at this moment. It's like, okay, fine. In fact, when I was at Altman Hospital after a few weeks, one of the persons that I see all the time would say, do you have a job here? Do you work here? I said, I feel like it. I'm here a lot. But I was wanting to see what God would have me see from the bigger perspective each day. And I continue to grow that way and then say, God, does this affect us as a body? Well, it probably would and does because I'm one of the pastors here. So it's affecting me and my family life a lot. So it needs to affect where I am because that's how God designs it. And hopefully for the good and for the better, and that would be the heart of the Lord, which would be the heart that he would have for each one of us. That you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, are to affect and be the main influencer, really, in a place, wherever that is, where you are so filled up with the power, the glory, the friendship of God, that you hear what he's saying and doing on the spot at that moment for you. And that you're going to be doing things and saying things and believing things and stepping into things that are new in the midst of crisis. You know, find yourself doing things that you thought, I can't do that. And it might be a physical stretch. It might be an emotional stretch. It might be a financial stretch. It might be a relational stretch. Okay, so, or it might be all of those factors and more. Irregardless, the Lord is saying, listen, I've got this, I'm on top of it, but I really want to show you some new things. So one particular day, I don't think I shared this here, I was in my mom's room and all the doctors were in. It was towards the end of her stay in the hospital. She's been home now and she's increasing, praise God. And we have around the clock, for the most part, 24/7 care, and I'm still highly involved and active and all of that. But at one point in the hospital, I was listening to the doctors pretty much checking her out and sizing her up. It just didn't look pretty, didn't sound good. I could see the look on their face. I could see the look and the response from my mom, or lack of response. And it's like, oh man, God, what are you saying? And he says, look, I have spoken the world into existence, and I have spoken the stars. I have spoken everything. I am the Word. I gave myself that name. I am the Word. And he calls himself the Word, all right? So I have spoken. Therefore, I am. It's like, whoa. I am that I am. I understand that. I read that in Scripture. I know you're really strong with that. But he says, I am. Not I will be. Not I was. But it's true he was and will be. But he says, I am. So I'm constant. And I don't change. You do. You will. But I don't. Whoa, okay, so what does that mean? And so I sat down after this time in the hospital room, and I just sat in the chair, looked at my mom, went, okay, looked at all the doctors and nurses, and they all were leaving, and it's just like one of those, that's not so pretty. And I sat in the chair, and I looked out of the window at Altman Hospital, you know, just about 5 feet from where I was sitting, and all I could see, just a little frame of the sky, right? And I could see this cross in the sky. That's it. It encompassed the entire window. It was a big window, you know, like that one back here. And I just saw, poof. I started to laugh. I really did. I sat there and went, oh, silly me. You know, I didn't get on my face and praise the Lord. Oh, my gosh, God, you're so big. I was crying because I said, oh, silly me. I forgot for just a second how big you are. When I heard this, and usually I was pretty good with the, your mom's not going to live. How do you like that? You know, in your face, a lot. And so I was pretty good with those kinds of things, going, well, you know, God has the last word. Oh, okay, a little step backwards, and that's good. And I have done that, but this particular day, oh, you know, they're saying, I've never seen her like this before. She hasn't done this. She's gone backwards. You know, it's negative. And the Lord said, I'm the Word, remember? And remember what I spoke. Remember the promises of God. Remember who I am. Remember. It was just for a second. But he's so faithful, and he's speaking all the time, because he's the Word. He said, I'm going to give this picture to you right now. We just within 5 minutes. He didn't have to do that. He knew I'd come back. He knew I wasn't my shit. My faith wasn't going down the tubes. And I was giving up, and oh, no, or anything like that. But it was just that moment of, oh, and I look up, boom, and there it is. I was like, wow. And he wanted me to look up. He, you know, he took my spiritual eyes, because my eyes were fixed on him, desiring to do that. He took them so I could see. I could see what he was doing in the midst of what wasn't seemingly working. It's like, wow, this is great. It's like, okay, God. So, I, you know, with Pastor Bill, I took this picture, you know, and I texted him. I said, look at this. This is a cross. Oh, my gosh, it's so great. Oh, you know, and the emotion comes up. It's like, God is so good. And he goes, well, yeah. I'm like, we do. We know this. But I was just so overwhelmed again at his goodness. I was like a little kid on Christmas morning just because of that, just something little at the moment. And this is during a time when wherever I was, it seemed, I'm walking through the place and talking to the Holy Spirit, and somebody that he had connected me with, a family member of someone seriously suffering death here, potential death, sees me right at the elevator door. And I thought, oh my gosh, I saw you just a few minutes ago on the elevator upstairs. So the Lord was wanting me to see that he had tagged this person as well for me to affect and for him to infect. Because he had this in his mind. He said, in the middle of really difficult times where some people would pass on,
Some people struggled and didn't get better. You know, a lot of different things going on in the hospital, especially ICU and other places that she was, long-term acute care, LTAC. Especially with that, the Lord was showing me, this is a journey, this is a process, and just hang on to me and remember who I am, remember my word, remember what I say, remember what I'm doing, and I am going to increase your faith. Well, Lord, I have strong faith. I've seen so many miracles of healing. I've seen so many deliverances over these decades. You guys know many of them. He says, yes, I know that, but I'm going to increase your faith. I'm going to stretch you, increase you on every front in your faith, and maybe I'll even do it with this. How about no sleep for 8 days? Oh, that wasn't in the plan. Now, I'm not saying no sleep. I mean little sleep, like 2 hours a night for 8 days. I mean, we can do that, right? That wasn't what I thought was a fun thing to do, but there wasn't even a question because of what needed to take place, because he gave me the plan. I was asking him, what is the plan for this, God? And he says, okay, you spend time with me, I'll download that to you, and here it will be. Well, I would love to have that downloaded X, Y, and Z right now. This is what I need. Well, that didn't happen. He didn't say when he would download the plan. He said, I would download the plan. So it really is my plan, but I'm going to help you as you're working with other people, the doctors, the nurses, your family, and others, and your mother, and yourself, and your own family, and your church. And da, da, da. So I'm going to help you with that. And as long as you continue to engage me in the formulation of the plan, then we're going to be able to walk this thing out together. So that's been the desire of my heart. And so I've seen a lot of different changes take place in my family, in the hospital, with these families, continued relationships in my own life, my own physical, you know, marital life and extended family life. I'm seeing where he's moving. And so my desire for you through my experiences is that you would increase. If not, I'm just standing up here blowing off what kind of stuff I've gone through. I mean, who cares? I know you care. But I'm saying God wants us to do something with the time, the process that we're in, because he's very sure about what he's doing, and he changes not. He is extremely on top of things, and he knows our struggles. He knows hindrances through those struggles or through those times where we're maybe doubting, maybe not seeing, maybe not sure, and wondering if we're going to win, we're going to lose, we're going to fail, we're going to succeed. You know, all the things that we humans are trying to determine in our everyday life. What's it going to be like? Every person in here wants to walk with the purpose that God has. Amen? Right? God created us. As soon as we were created in our mother's womb, there was a purpose and a plan because he told us that. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm you, to prosper you. And those came from God. Like, okay, I believe that. Well, if that's true, that even in the midst of his unfolding plan, which unfolds our destiny, okay, we're all about destiny. Everybody says, yes, my destiny. You know, the Lord wants us to know that as he unfolds these things, the places that we trip and stumble and fall are part of that building and part of that process. How we go through what we go through is what he's looking at, as well as the outcome, but he knows it. And many times, in fact, almost all the time, if not always, he will give us the ability to be stretched in the area of trusting him explicitly, irregardless of what we think and feel, and irregardless of his promises. Like, what? That sounds contradictory. It's not. He says, every promise is yes and amen. So I am called to hold fast to those promises and hear what you're saying and doing in the middle of them. And then hold fast and declare and decree what it is that he's saying. And he will become bigger and bigger and bigger in our heart and our mind's eye. And as he becomes bigger, there's this process, this tug of war going back and forth. As he becomes bigger to us, the enemy and the very struggles that we might have from our own inner, I don't want to's, doesn't need the enemy for that, okay, or whatever it would be, they would become smaller and smaller. In other words, our dependence upon him, upon his voice, upon his heart, upon every aspect of his nature, that will increase, and that's what he's saying. He says to me, I so want you just to lay back in my hands, and I'm going to work you, because that's me. So it's like, work me. Wait a minute.
You know, I don't believe I'm working through this in my life, but I don't desire to have striving in my life. But I do know that it takes good effort and work to accomplish things in the kingdom. If I didn't get in my car when it was below zero and go out to talk to the doctors during all of their rounds in ICU and they got to know me, then I wouldn't have the information and I wouldn't be able to hear the Holy Spirit to be able to listen and go, what are you telling me? I wouldn't have the gifts of discerning of spirits, of words of knowledge, of words of wisdom, okay? Things like that operating through me, the gift of faith when it would come upon me, the gift of working in miracles, I wouldn't recognize or even be there. And so there have been many stretches for my personal life. But what God is saying is that, you know, as we're asking him how to lay these things out for us more and more, that our goal is to receive him and give it away. Receive his love, give it away, for sure. That sounds really nice. But when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, it's 3:00 in the afternoon, you're tired, things aren't working out, and you're feeling sluggish or whatever you're feeling, or maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's, you know, I'm feeling great, I'm filled with joy, I'm filled with peace, there's no problem at all. You know, either way, whatever's going on in your world, the Lord is saying, are you depending on me? Are you fully receiving my heavenly embrace? Are you knowing and believing that I'm speaking to you? That you not only can hear my voice in a class, but you can hear my voice all the time when I am making myself known to you. I have made myself known in creation. I've made myself known in every possible way. Every person you see, you know, the word says that I have made them in my image. So as I look at this wonderful man of God, I see someone made in the image of God, and I see the Lord. It's like, wow. Now, his eyes are sparkling, filled with the Holy Spirit. I like that. That makes it extra fun. But if it's not, which you encounter a lot in the world or in churches or whatever, you know, sometimes that's not so easy. But the Lord says that you still want to look and say, that person is made in my image. Therefore, I am in good company because we are in connection right now because of that. And that gives us the ability then to rise, hold fast to him, and then release whatever it is God has for us, that word in season at that moment. Even in the midst of, oh my gosh, my mom is on a respirator, and if she's not off, this happens. In other words, every thought that I have needs to be considered before the Lord. If I am not seasoned in doing that prior to crisis times, I'm going to have an extra difficult time in crisis times. So the Lord is always wanting us to be very mindful of what our knower is, where our knower is, which is our heart, but also what our brain is allowing in and out. And I believe we're in a season where he's saying, I want you to hit the reset button, that what comes in and what goes out, just as you would with your computer, is really going to match up with the DNA of heaven more than ever. And that if you hear something, go, yeah, that's a good idea, that you would jot this down in the places in your heart and go, that's for me, that's where I'm going to say, Lord, I need to change there, I need your help there, this is what I'm going to do. Rather than, I've tried that, it doesn't work, it's too hard. Any of those areas of, I've tried that, it doesn't work, it's too hard, those are areas that the Lord would say, I'm speaking to you, and what I want you to do to take the steps so that we'll have a reprogramming of your thinking. Because your thinking is going to affect the outcome here, or it could affect the outcome. It's like, wow, I don't want to be one of those weirdos, you know, saying, well, every word, if I don't say the right word, oh, I'm going to get a demon. I mean, that is kind of strange. But honestly, our words do affect the atmosphere around us and every, you know, atmosphere in our own personal life. And this is nothing that you haven't heard before in this church. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I agree. And why aren't things happening? Are we missing any components in our own life that God is saying, you know what? Okay, there's something I want to try to help you see. And if you can see what I see, then you will be able to step into areas of success for you that will make a difference for your own life. Well, what if it doesn't turn out that way? Well, what if it doesn't? If we're really hidden in Christ, then we're really hidden in Christ. And we really have the confidence that he's in control. But the problem is that many times, and I find this all the time, even with those who are working at my mom and dad's house and helping, and I'm finding, wow, I'm called to be a kingdom representative in person on every front. When someone's talking to my dad about the world at large and he's jumping in and it's all negative, what do I do? Do I stand there and join in the negativity, or how do I wield my way through that? And you all do the same, I'm sure, at your jobs or wherever it is. But God is saying, do you see that I am looking for you to increase so that they might increase? If you don't increase, how do you expect them to increase? Because I'm working through you. If you desire to increase, I will make the changes in you so that you will increase and they will increase and the increase will continue. That's the nature of the kingdom. And the Lord says, okay, we're supernatural beings. And we've had classes and we've had teachings. And oh my gosh, I just think back over all the years on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Read that Bill Johnson book. No. Or whatever it would be. You know, this is all true. The Lord is saying you are in a transformation process. And this transitional time for any of you, for whatever it might be in your life, God's in it. And he's saying, watch what I do. I'm going to change you in that process. I know the outcome, but I want you to be led. I want you to be led by me, because you're my son or you're my daughter. We're led by him. Okay, well, that means that we have to understand how that works. We have to understand how the kingdom works. We have to understand what the DNA of the kingdom is. And that's the problem, really, in churches. You know, we get so puffed up in churches, and we just think, okay, fine, well, this is how I do kingdom. And we go blow people out of the park because they don't understand kingdom. We're supposed to be covert agents, being able to go and infiltrate areas and make a difference in the world. And we can learn about the seven mountains, and we need to, you know, take that Lance Wallnau teaching and take it to the moon. That's all true. But the Lord says, how about right where you are? How about right with what you're doing right now? If you are an education person, some of you are teachers, some of you are business people, whatever you're doing right now, or moms at home, or whatever it is, any area right there, the Lord is saying, I want to speak to you. I want you to experience me right here, right now, in the middle of the most difficult moment where that person is breathing down your neck or you don't know what you're doing. That's the best time, when he comes in and says, how about a word of knowledge? How about a word of wisdom? Maybe you won't even recognize that. But you see, God tells us, I want you to recognize when I'm empowering you, giving that extra empowerment. It's like Christmas morning when the Lord says, you know, hey, there's a presence under the tree, and you see them all wrapped. It's like, oh my gosh, and we all have heard this about salvation. Yes, that is getting the gift of Christmas. Jesus is the gift. And we go, yes, rah, woo, and we receive him, and that's good. Not minimizing that, please. Not making light of that. But the Lord says there's more. And he says, when you want the more, you will go after me. You will go after the more. You will do something beyond what you've done in the past when you are pursuing. Each year now, of the last few years, we've had Relentless Pursuit Conference here, as you know. And it takes a different form each time. And we'll see what God does for the fall at this point. But we are believing that God is relentlessly pursuing us, but we are to relentlessly pursue him. We can get, actually, now hear me on this, please. We can become very religious. Oh boy, hear that, everybody's listening. Okay, if we are just waiting on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait. I believe in waiting on God. He's had me wait for so many things, but I need to know that he's really calling me to wait. Or is he calling me to action? And so if we're waiting for something, he's saying, will you take the step? I mean, you know, give the kick out of the nest. Do something. That do something will help establish the purposes that God has for your life as part of your destiny actually being formed and played out. Making mistakes along the way, yes. But staying in peace, staying in joy. Desiring peace, desiring joy, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of what's going down, in the midst of what's not working right. If something's not working right, we need to go to the Lord and say, what is it? And be willing to hear it. And it could be maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. But he will speak. He will speak. He's not going to say, well, I'm not telling you. Too bad you're asking. I don't care. He's our daddy. Right? He's going to help us. And sometimes it's just not it's not really fun to hear what he has to say, but it can be depending on how we view him. If we view him as our lavish daddy, then okay, I can move, I can tilt, I can go a certain way. So I had a couple scriptures I wanted. I don't have them up here today, so you'll have to get your trusty Bibles out. So a couple of things I wanted to touch on. A very familiar verse, first of all, is Joshua 1:8. Most everybody knows this, so let's just look at that really quickly. I just want to read it out loud, Joshua 1:8. If you've memorized this, yay. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now there's the word mouth, okay? He's talking about something verbal. But you shall meditate on it day and night. So why mouth? I mean, couldn't it say, this book of the law will not depart from your eyes? There's something about speaking that God wants to make known here because we're very verbal people. Obviously, I don't stand up here and just look at you with my eyes. There's something coming up and out, and words are creative, and they're expressive, and they're helpful, and they can be helpful, or they can be hurtful. But you shall meditate on it day and night. That's all the time. That's day and night. The book of the law, the word of the Lord, all the time. So it's like, oh, okay. But so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. Okay, depending on your version, it says if you will obey it. If you'll do what the Bible says, we do what the word says, you don't make excuses, you will make your way prosperous. Isn't that interesting? So that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous as you depend on God, and then you will have success. It's like, what the heck? I didn't feel a whole lot of success when I'm crying my eyes out when something really rough is happening in the family. The Lord says, I have something for that too, as you are depending on me. And so we're very strong in the word in this house and the spirit in this house. But if there is ever, ever any doubt in anybody's mind about the place of how God puts the spirit and the word together, so there's a very strong, formidable force and foe against the enemy, then that's where God is saying, you know what? I need to speak to you here. Even though I love you, because I love you, as I love you, let me show you how I can change things up for you that are going to work for you better, because I want you to be successful. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be distraught. I don't want you to be down. I don't want you to be depressed. Now, to be really honest with you, it's annoying to me, not you guys, but it's annoying to me if I hear somebody say, it's really okay. Get as depressed and discouraged and despairing if you want to. It's okay, because you're being real. This is how it is. Just be real with how you feel. It's okay. Well, as soon as that's spoken over you and you feel that's okay to stay in a place like that, oh my gosh, you just opened yourself up to a lot more of the same and maybe even more. So when people say, come on now, let's move forward, and you're not feeling like it, there's a solution, there's a way to move into the place where the feelings will catch up with what the Word of God says. And we want to step towards that. Okay, so this is not new either, Joshua 1:8, but just saying. All right, let's take a look at Philippians 4:8. Now we really hammered this, took it apart in missions this summer, but Philippians 4:8 is very, very important here. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, and this is after the Bible tells us to rejoice in all things and be anxious for nothing. I mean, how about that one? Be anxious for nothing. Be fearful for nothing. Rejoice in all things. Okay, I will. But in verse 8, it says, finally, as a result, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent and anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things. Again, sermon after sermon, year after year, you've heard that going, yeah, yeah, okay, that's true. But I'm telling you, in the littlest places, the Lord is going to allow us to see whether or not that scripture is going to work for us. He has designed that scripture to work for us. So if there's anything in our mind that is not fitting into Philippians 4:8, we open ourselves up to more struggle and more problems. And we learn, you know, we all learn. But God says, you know, some of the things you really don't have to struggle as hard as you do. You know, you're going to learn some things and you're going to fall on your face and you're going to scrape your knees. We're kids. Okay.
And you're going to have failures and problems and struggles and trials. But some of the things that perhaps we repeat or we never really get in the area of holding fast to the confession of the Word of God, some of those things the Lord is saying, you know, I'm so serious about this in your life. You are a mover, a shaker. You are a pioneer. You are a world changer. You are one of a kind. You are unique. You are irreplaceable. You are so special to me. I've got an amazing plan for your life, and you're just beginning to smell it. There's so much I'm calling you to do, but I need to be able to trust you in these areas. So as you're going through making errors, making mistakes, okay, but see them and say, oh, wow, it doesn't line up with the scripture. This has not been the case. Sorry, God. Let's move back. Let's hit reset. In other words, declaring war on anything that would not fit the Word of God specifically in our thinking and our speech, that we would say, God, I will not, by your Spirit, I cannot, I should not, I won't. Meaning, I want to do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because that is who I am. And so we start doing more and more and more and more of that. Even in the midst of things falling apart, we'll start to see things change. Because it's a principle in heaven. And God says that works. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Have you ever seen people who do these things, you know, but don't really have the Spirit of God necessarily? And it's like, that seems to work out. I don't like it. You know, but God is so serious because he gave the whole world for all of us to see. Be it Muslim, be it Hindu, be it us, it doesn't matter. He says, I spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light, and I saw that it was good. So there is creative power in taking these kinds of steps to watch, to consider before the Lord these very simple, basic, elementary, if you will, but so profound scripture verses that speak to us about taking the next step in life. Why? Because the Lord says, I want you to hear me. I want that closeness, that Holy Spirit closeness. I don't want you to just sit when the worship team has taken us into the heavenly realm, and then you hear me and you feel close to me, but the other 23 hours of the day, no way. You see? God is saying, I want this to become the norm outside of this. And if as you step in and say, I've got to see this now for myself even more, I will be willing to be flexible. I'll be willing to change. Even if I have a standard here, this is my standard and my rule. But when I hear the Holy Spirit and I get that phone call or I get that email and he says something else, I'm going to be willing to change, even if I'm trying to set something in motion and not vary from it or move from it. That's where the Holy Spirit will test. So I know you set these things up and it looks really nice. You dotted your I's, you crossed your T's, especially in the world. But what are you going to do when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, this is the way. This is a better way. Oh my gosh, how do you do it? How do you do it in the world? How do you do it? And he says, you can hear my voice and I'm going to give you the strategy. I'll give you that word of wisdom. I'll give you a word of knowledge to even let you know what they don't know, but that can be known. You don't know at that moment, but it's known. Huh? That happened to me all the time in the hospital. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words, gifts of faith and healing and working of miracles. The supernatural spiritual gifts of God were happening at an exponential rate the 2 months that my mom was in and out of these places. And it was like, okay, I mean, I felt like I was overseas because it happens all the time. And here, to some degree, you know, we have a real high measure here. But the Lord wanted to say something through me to you, I believe, that he wants to raise the standard, raise the bar, especially if you have little children or grandchildren, that you start recognizing, even through the gifts of discerning of spirits, what's going on, what's triggering, what's rising up. When you hear X, Y, and Z, or you see X, Y, and Z, you go to the Lord, and you're talking to him, you're in communication, and he says, well, yeah, your kid has this or that, or she's strong-willed, or she's sick, or you know, whatever it would be, but you're hearing that through the spiritual discerning of spirits, that there's also a little tormenting help, boom, giving a little kick to your loved one, and recognize it, and then know how to wield through that. It's like, wow, come on. I mean, that is Christianity on steroids. And it's really normal Christianity. That's supernatural living. And God wants that for us, not just when we go to India. He wants that now. He wants us to be thinking that way, that we are so set on things above. Our mind, our heart, our will, our emotions, so set on things above and not on things below. In other words, things on the earth which would be natural. And natural isn't bad, but our mind and our heart, mind and heart and words need to be set on things above. And when we say, yeah, wow, I'm being stoked, this is more for me, I need more. If it's coming from a place of great love and outpouring, love for the Master, I'm spending time in His presence, I'm hearing more accurately, I'm encountering Him, this is great, but I'm recognizing when He's talking, I'm recognizing when He's doing, I'm recognizing when the empowerment comes. And I may not be able to say, well, here's my great definition of anointing. I heard Larry Randolph say this recently in something I was listening to, give you the very best definition of anointing, but I sure know when it's not there. And I went, oh, that is good. It's like, I don't know how to define this. I don't know. I just know it ain't there. And it's like, whoa, if the anointing isn't there, the presence of God, the power of God is not igniting something that's going on. I want to humble myself and say, God, show me. I'm going to get down on my face and we'll spend time with Him, but spending tons and tons of time in His presence with Him saying, what are you trying to do right now? Oh, so good. So anyway, these are some of the things He's putting on my heart. I just have a couple of more points to make that I wrote this down from a speaker. It says, domino effect, that thoughts become words. Now think about your thoughts. Think about your thoughts. Play on words. Thoughts become words. In other words, what we think becomes a word. A thought turns into a word. Words create attitude, don't they? So if you have a thought about something and they become a word that you share with anybody other than the Lord, and He tells you about that word, attitudes form, and attitudes determine well-being or not well-being. Our well-being influences our conduct, or in other words, our state of being influences our conduct, and then our conduct determines the shape of our destiny. And that can be for the littlest thing. That can be, how do I read a book to my 7-year-old? Okay, or what is the best way to handle, Halloween, okay? The holiday of Halloween. What's the best way to handle that, Lord? Well, I know what I think. Okay, but what's the best way? What's the kingdom way? Because God is just so, He's so happy. He's in a good mood. He really is. He's just not walking around like this. He's not doing that. And no, He doesn't like ISIS doing what they're doing or anything like that. And we had some powerful intercession. And I believe on Tuesday when that happened, that we were expressing the mind and the heart of the Lord in a good way, saying, no, this is not righteousness. Oh my God, no. But God, save those crazy people so they don't burn in hell forever. But at the same time, we come against this with all the fiery blood and authority of Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's a place in the intercession world that we're understanding more and more as a body. And God says, take that home. Take that home to your prayer closet. Check your minds. Check your hearts. Press reset. What goes in, what comes out, check it. Because it will be in the normal course of events of our day that God's going to challenge us. Yeah, really. Why do we do what we do? We can stop something that is the Holy Spirit because we think it's the right thing to do. And it's not necessarily the right thing to do or the best thing to do, the most kingdom thing to do. Well, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. I mean, come on, we have good worship. I'm in the Spirit. The Lord's saying, that was you, honey. That was your way. That wasn't the best way. You can have your way. It's all right. But the best way is going to be His way. He's going to be inspiring your thinking, your ways, more and more and more. And isn't that exciting? Because that's the nature and the majesty of God to want to do that. So, so happy about that. Let's see what verses. It's kind of late. We had this great outpouring of how to do finances. So I'm going to probably take this and do this in two different Sundays. But I just wanted to say, let's just take a look at 1 Corinthians 14:1 for a minute. I have a lot more to say, but we are in America. Yeah, I know.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. This is so good. 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Oh, let's read it again. Pursue love. So love is the basis for all things, and I'm going to speak more about that another time. Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay? This is really good. I want to give you a couple words that I found in my studies here that were helpful to me, and I think will be helpful to you, because everyone in here who's been associated for any length of time with Frontline knows that we're a very prophetic community, knows that we believe in healing, knows that, or believes or has heard that we want the supernatural to rule here, etc. With that in mind, and I was saying this to someone on the phone recently, but I've said it to probably all of you anyway, that what we don't want to see, because we are open or want to be open to the Spirit, that we have any stuff that, things that would be considered counterfeit. And how are we going to know that? How are we going to know that something isn't right? It's like, wow. When your spirit goes, well, maybe that's you. You know, I mean, how are we going to know these things? Because the Lord is going to honor humility of heart, being willing to change, being willing to be wrong, being willing to do things differently, and being willing to say, God, I am presenting myself in purity and holiness before you, that I am willing to change no matter what, so that every word that would proceed out of my mouth, be it a prophetic word, be it healing, whatever it would be, would truly not only represent you to someone else, but that you inside of me would invade their world. I'm not just saying, hey, he's like this, watch this, but that the Spirit of God in me, carried in me, is actually touching somebody else. It's a big difference. Touching somebody else with the Spirit of God is like, hello, I carry the Holy Spirit. How about that? And there's such a change, and there's such a desire. Now, she may say, whoa, you're way too much, too fast, go away. Because you are, you know, that's a possibility. But if the Lord is leading that, just saying. So let's take a look at a couple of words that will be helpful here. The Greek word for desire comes from zelo. And again, it's not up here, so you have to write it down. Okay, Z-E-L-L-O. And that means to be zealous for, to covet earnestly. I like that. Those are action thoughts and phrases. To be zealous for, to covet earnestly, action, passionately pursuing, okay? So the question would be, and again, it's not a test, don't raise your hand, how many of us are desiring, passionately, actively pursuing spiritual gifts? Well, it's being talked about in 1 Corinthians here in terms, and they're all listed in that particular, the supernatural, you know, power gifts, utterance gifts, revelation gifts are talked about in that, following that command. It's not a, hey, if you feel like it, you know, it might be a really good thing. Give it a try. It'll be like Christmas morning. You'll love it. It'll just be like, wow, your whole life is going to be so much better. No, it is, do it. And it's from God. But you see, when your God is biggie-sized, it's like, what? Well, yeah, I passionately pursue spiritual gifts. There will be this inner yeah on the inside. In the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your educational pursuits, in the midst of your business workings or whatever it is, you will be passionately pursuing the God of the supernatural realm and talking to him, listening to him, so you may not even recognize all the things that he wants to show you at first, really, about these gifts. He says, These are gratuities. Like when you go into a restaurant and you leave a tip, it's like, oh my gosh, this is, you did a good job. Good job. All right. Thank you. Here is the tip that I'm going to leave you. It's like a gratuitous act. It's an endowment that God says, I've given this to you. I've given this to you. How about that? But if we don't recognize those gifts and then use them effectively, we're kind of limping along going, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. In other words, if we want the supernatural empowerment that comes from loving Jesus, which I'm not mocking that at all, okay, then God says earnestly pursue, earnestly desire, covet, go after, Understand with this. Seek it out. Train yourself. Be trained by the Spirit of God. What does it mean? Take those steps to understand the prophetic world or whatever it would be. Understand. We offer those kinds of training opportunities. Take advantage of them so that you can grow. Well, maybe I got that 10 years ago, but this is 10 years later, so how are things working for you? Okay? Are you where you want to be? Well, God's happy with me. Come on. We're all taking those steps to spend time worshiping the Lord, which is this all worship. These are acts of worship. But God says, how about we step in and pursue? This is an area to pursue that I think God is wanting us to see. Let me give you something else here. excuse me. The word desire from the English realm, it's related to the English word, and desire is translated wish, okay? Hope, kind of for an emotional sense. It's more of a passive expression. That's not what's being used here in Corinthians, okay? That is something that we do. We might say, oh, I just hope I get married someday. I hope I have a husband or a wife, and I hope it happens. You hope? Or you expect and believe and trust, if that's what God is saying to you and what he says in his word for you. You take the steps, you prepare your heart, yourself, etc. It's nothing wrong with going, I really want to. I'm not making fun of that, light of it, but that's not the kind of desire here we're talking about. We're talking about, all right, taking steps. Now, you can take things into your own hands and go, well, God isn't fast enough for me, so therefore, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z because he's given me this desire, and it's going to be fulfilled now, and he's going to let you go around and around and around the barn, and you can take steps and try to bring the very best to yourself. Surely, you can do whatever you want. However, God does have certain parameters laid out for you in certain areas that when he does call you to wait on him, it's not passively, it's aggressively pursuing what he's saying. Now, that's understanding what he's saying in his word, what he's saying that we can have. It's getting as close to him as possible. It's understanding his voice. It's learning what he's telling you. And when you come to that place, more and more, you will have peace and joy, even in the midst of waiting for something that he calls you to wait for. He calls me to wait all the time. And I'm a kind of person, you know me, let's take that mountain yesterday. Right? But he's also taught me and is still teaching me through all kinds of situations, especially in this season, last 2 years. Just keeps coming. It's like, wow, thank you, Lord. You're so good. But God is saying, let's be zealous for, let's covet earnestly. If you can turn in your Bible to Matthew 11:12, a familiar verse, that sometimes is misunderstood. Sounds like some of those, you know, those zealots, oh my goodness, you know, they're just crazy people. They speak these words out, but Matthew 11:12 is something that, you know, is a safeguard for us. And if we aren't willing to get rid of negativity, if we aren't willing to give it up and say, you know what, I can't do this, and my thinking and my attitude and my words stink, And I've got to change. If we're not willing to do that, we're not going to understand this, okay? Because they go hand in hand. So Matthew 11:12. Okay, where are we here? Reads, from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of sorry guys. Such a good verse. From the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent then take it by force. The Lord is saying to us that if we want the kingdom to be manifest in our world, in our life, in all areas, then we need, it suffers violence, we need to take it by force. And he's saying that the kingdom is apprehended by those who aggressively seize whatever is theirs. Aggressively seizing whatever is theirs. In other words, if there is something that I can walk in, there's something I can have, something that belongs to me, it's going to happen in Jesus' name.
And so I take whatever steps as part of my destiny building and releasing that are opportunities for me, and I watch what God will do because I become like a little child on Christmas. Okay? With that in mind, that's been somewhat discussed. Everybody is very busy, but we are going to attempt to take a step forward, not this Thursday, but next Thursday for 5 weeks. Okay, starting March, the 1st of March, whatever that date is on Thursday. And we're going to have 5 weeks, five consecutive weeks. And we'd like to talk about the kingdom of God in terms of the power of God, in terms of how he manifests, how the Lord manifests himself and what wants us to manifest the kingdom. The demonstration of the kingdom is going to be the name of this course. And we're going to put this together and in the area of desiring and maturing in these areas of gifts and understanding the anointings of God, the revelatory realm, the power gifts, the utterance gifts, the revelatory gifts, altogether from 1 Corinthians. But also we know that God will call us to have gifts of serving and gifts of exhortation, other things like that. These are important things. But primarily, not exclusively, but primarily, we're going to be stepping into the ones that are a little more scary, if you will. Okay? Because we can identify, well, I like to serve, so I've got hospitality. And we can do that really in any church, and it's good. And I'm glad for it, and it's important. And so it's not as though we dismiss that, because God does give us an empowerment or enablement. But some of these other things that are a little bit scarier, like I don't know if I could hold a microphone and get a picture of a heart and then just start calling out a disease for 10, 12 people and do something like that. Yes, you can. Whatever way that God would have that happen, be it holding a microphone like this, or you get a word of knowledge when you're in your kitchen with your mom. What are you going to do with that? Oh my gosh. I don't know. So we're going to explore even more. And this is for the veterans here, those who have been with us for many years. This is for you. This is a step up for you. This is for those who are not veterans, who are very new to the body. There's going to be a bar, and it's not too high. This is going to be, we believe, this is what God's releasing right now. And whatever he's releasing, you're going to be able to get. Because he doesn't say, earnestly desire these gifts when you've been at Frontline 2 years, or you've been a Christian 4 years, or anything like that. He just says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a little pursuing. And for those who've been here or not been here, anyone who considers this their family, their church home, we're offering this. And we'd really encourage you to make the time and check your schedules and come. And there will be instructors. There will also be, we're trusting, I won't give it all away, but videos from people who are heavyweights in the spirit as well. But anyone who truly is able to walk in these areas is considered a weighty person in the spirit. And that should be all of us, right? So we want the bar to raise here, irregardless of where you're coming from. So it's open for anybody who considers Frontline their family home, okay? And you've taken those steps or whatever that would look like. But I just really wanted to set the tone for that, irregardless of this course or class, but just really super on my heart. I mean, just in a good driving way, just driving that home. The Lord is saying, I want my kids to know me more, because really, the friends of the bridegroom, they need to understand how to wield the kingdom a little more effectively, not just when they go to Mozambique, but wherever they are all the time, recognizing when I'm moving, how I'm moving, what I'm saying, how I'm giving them direction. And we're going to have opportunities to practice those. And again, we've had classes, and we've had Extreme Prophetic out here. So this is nothing ultimately new for Frontline. But I believe something new, I know something new is going to be released. There's an increase in anointing for that in this season. And therefore, I want to be here because of that. So I hope you can too. You will consider that. So we'll put something out there just for you to sign up so we know we're expecting that. But I just really believe that this is going to take us into another place as we've shifted now. And I think you've sensed that as we've been preaching and ministry, taking us into a place of a kingdom release for each one of us that might not look like something that, how do I say it, that we are expecting, but that God's going to do way above what we can think, expect, or imagine. I'd ask you to pray into that. And you'd come with your questions, with your understanding, wherever it is now. And we're going to see what God's going to do. We're all about dreams and visions in this place and prophetic words and healings. Okay, there's another place in the spirit, dimension-wise, that God wants to take us to, I believe. So I'm excited about that. So this morning, I just want to close with a personal challenge. That the Lord is able to receive full access to our hearts this morning, beyond. And if we doubt right now that he's able or that we want to become vulnerable and open ourselves, I would say to you, after this word being expressed, that there's something operating against you. Maybe it's from your family line, maybe it's not. But God would say, I'm opening up the windows of heaven in your heart to be able to receive that I have more for you right now, irregardless of your circumstances, but I need your cooperation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I release over this family, over this body, a spirit of faith, a spirit of belief, Lord, to counter any type of fear and unbelief. Father, which we just extract and pull out of this place. And Father, we say yes to your continuing transforming process. We say yes to your continuing transformational agenda that you have for each one of us to help us develop the kingdom worldview that's active, that's precise, that is moving, that is not slow, it's not stuck, and it's not going backwards. So, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that today is a new day, Lord, and this is not a day of information, but that this is a day of impartation. Father, that we would humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and you would lift us up in due time in that place of continued, effectual revelation from heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that as every person would be touched through our lives, that we would increase because that's your design for us. Thank you for the proper DNA of heaven that's just settling like a beautiful mist over this place right now. A new mist. I see it in the spirit. I just see an angelic release right now in the spirit all around this place. I am seeing gold just being released. Wow. In the spirit, the atmosphere is pregnant with promise, pregnant with change, pregnant with hope, pregnant with a sense of newness and a sense of determining victory for situations that have seemed impossible. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. If you are in agreement, just speak out your agreement with him right now, that your words would form out of your mouth what it is that you're saying that you need from him, you want from him, that connecting point in the spirit with your papa right now. I mean, don't be afraid, don't be shy. Just speak out because there's a creative release right now for the words of life that you partner with that are released over you, over this body right now for what you believe will happen now and what you're expecting for in the future. So thank you, Lord, as each person just speaks out gratitude and thanksgiving and expectancy for what part they will play in this overall change and increase in process, Lord, that will happen for them because you say so. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healings today. Thank you for the deliverance today. Thank you for the openness in our hearts and minds right now. Thank you, Lord, that we will have expectancy for the newness of our journey to continue. Father, that we will have new eyes, new ears that are open to what you're saying and doing right now. Lord, that you would be the one to free us from that which would entangle us, be it addiction, be it any area of concentration of negativity, of hurtfulness inside, anything, God, that you would come and let us know that you're in this and you're increasing us right now. Thank you, Lord, that we declare a war on negativity from the way we look at things, think about things,
and speak things into being. Father, we come forth right now, and we thank you, Lord, that we will experience changes on the inside because of your Spirit, and as we go to our next destination of family, friends, work, whatever it would be today and tomorrow, that we will notice a lightness, and Father, that there will be an increase in our understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding. Open the eyes of our heart right now, God. And we give you permission to invade us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Father, I just release over this body the spirit of understanding right now, spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, spirit of knowledge, spirit of power and might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that there would be a great increase in that release in this house, and that each one of us would desire to know you more intimately, Holy Spirit. Yay! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. We praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord God. You're so good. And so faithful. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, we declare this to be true. Thank you, Lord. Can we hear a great amen for the Lord? Amen. Let's give him a clap offering to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your release today. Wow. I believe that we are here, and this is something shifted again. I don't know if you could feel that in the spirit, but if you receive that and release that, then you speak it out to those around you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Come Tuesday if you can. We love to see you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.